Haftarah of Parshas Tetzaveh. We know the Haftarah of Parshas Tetzaveh speaks about the third Beis HaMikdash, and as an introduction, Yecheskel HaNavi writes, B'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata ben Adam, Haged es Beis Yisrael es Abayis, speak to Bnei Yisrael about the third Beis HaMikdash, V'yikolmu me'avon Yisayim, and they will be ashamed from their sins. Rashi explains, when they see my chesed, that I keep on thinking of them, I'm not disgusted with them. I'm still interested in them. And don't forget, this is taking place during Chorban Bayis Sheni, during the Golas Bavel. This will show them their averis, and they'll be ashamed of their sins when they see that they're sinning, and they're in Golas, but I'm just planning their beautiful future. Bnei Yisrael are supposed to think about, Navi Yecheskel is telling us about the third Beis HaMikdash in all its details. And he even visited it. He saw it. He was in it. He saw the third Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. That will cause us to be Chayzer B'tshuva, to realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Why, Dafka, was this Dar, Zoyche, to hear about the third Beis HaMikdash, which was supposed to cause them to be ashamed of their Averis? Why, Dafka, this Dar? So, in the beautiful Sefer Ma'adani Shmuel from Shmuel Trovitz, Zechayna Levracha, who is a Rashiva and Rav in Rishon LeZion, he brings the Rav Itzel Petersburg in Sefer Koich V'ar, said that this Dar recognized how terrible Averis were. This is the Dar who didn't believe Tshuva was possible, like the famous Psukim. It says in Cheskel Lamed Gimel, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael, Klai Yisrael, you think that you cannot do tshuva anymore. No, you should know, Shuvu, Shuvu, Midarchechem, Aroyim, Balamu, Suvusu, Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi says on those psukim, you think that it's not possible to do tshuva, you're wrong. Tshuva is always possible. And Reb Itzela says that the Yidden of that dar came to a tremendous hakara on how strong chait is. It was so clear to them how terrible Aveira is. So they were under the belief it's not possible to do tshuva. Most people are easy to do tshuva because they don't really realize how terrible averis are. But if you realize how terrible is the koyach of chait, so you realize it's actually difficult and it's a nes that Kadosh Baruch Hu will accept us in tshuva, like Rabbeinu Yonah writes in many places. But we still have to understand, says the Ma'adani Shmuel, why is that the generation of Golas Bavel, why were they the ones that recognized Avera, and they're the ones who for the first time doubted in the power of Tshuva, and Yecheskel has to tell them over and over again that Tshuva is possible. Like the famous Sukkim, Hashem says, I don't want Emech Bais Ameis Ameis, Kim Beshuv, Rashim, Edarka V'chaya, over and over in different forms. They need to be convinced of this. Why Dafka them? So he says, we find that generation, Chazal tell us, based on Pesukim and Yecheskel, that generation went to Yecheskel Anovi and said, Rabbeinu Yecheskel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold us. He gave us away. He's not interested in us anymore. He divorced us. And therefore, he has no right to request us to keep Torah and Mitzvahs anymore. He chucked us away. He's not interested in us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come back and say, no. I am still your king. Don't think it's over. I am still your king. Why did that generation come to this strange hava amina, this strange incorrect assumption that Hashem was not interested anymore? Why this generation? And the answer is, this generation was a generation in history for the first time that lived through a chorban which was detailed in precise detail in the Navi, in many Nevi'im, in the Chumash, in the Teichacha. And it all came to pass for the first time in history on them. And they never believed it would happen. In Sefer Yirmiyah, we are told many times that Bnei Yisrael did not believe that the Beis Mikdash would ever be destroyed. They said the Beis Mikdash, Hashem will never destroy it. This is his home. There's no way he would get rid of it. And they did not think it was possible that this place could ever be destroyed. Like it says, for example, in Yirmiyah Zayin, Klai Yisrael were doing Averis. Hashem says to them, Hine atem boitchem lachem al divri sheker. You're relying on a false assumption, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Levilti hayil, which won't help you at all. Haganav, Ratzach, Benav, you think you can kill? You think you can steal? You could do znos? Vishava l'shaker, you could swear falsely? V'kata l'bal, you think you could be makert avadizara? Etc., etc. And then it says, and you say, Uvasim amat l'fane b'bayis hazeh, asher nikru shmi alava amarta, and you say, we're in Hashem's home, nitzalnu, we'll be saved. And then it says, Hama'aras pritzimai abayis hazeh, is this a robber's lair? You think you can get away with whatever you want? In this Beis HaMikdash, Hashem says, no, I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I destroyed Shiloh after 300 and something years. I'll destroy this Beis HaMikdash. But nobody really believed it. They thought it would last forever. It was so difficult to believe that this Beis HaMikdash would ever be destroyed. And therefore, when they went through such terrible suffering, when the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, they were like, how could that be? Why would a father do that to his son? It must be threw us away. And that's why they came to this mistaken conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had divorced us, had sent us into exile, and was never interested in us coming back. Because they couldn't believe from how terrible it actually became. Nobody ever believed it would really come true. They said, like they say in Ivrit, Yiyetov. Don't worry, it'll all work out. It's all going to work out at the end. It's all going to work out at the end. That was their assumption. Terrible, terrible mistake. So the Navi needs to tell them and say for Yecheskel many times, incorrect. You're wrong. Hashem didn't throw you away. It just came to pass what Hashem promised. But what does Hashem want? Hashem wants you to do tshuva. So that's why this generation, out of all generations, is the one that they're the ones who had a tremendous hakara in chait that nobody ever had before. They saw so strongly the power of chait. But they have to understand, says the Navi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to be wallowing in suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to come back to Him and He'll build a third Beis HaMikdash. And He's showing it already in the time of Yecheskel HaNavi. He says, I'm all ready for the third Beis HaMikdash. The Malbim says on our Haftarah, Tzivoloi, Sheyagid Lahem, Sheroas Abai is Bonoi. Chodesh Baruch Hu instructed Yecheskel, tell Bnei Yisrael, you already saw the third Beis HaMikdash of Meshuchlal built and beautifully all set up. V'ayman, and standing Nochan Lefnei Hashem. Rak Avaniseh Ma'akvim. Just your sins are holding back. Be ashamed of your Averis. Be ashamed. And you'll be able to be Chayzeh B'Tshuva, like the Gemara says in Brachas. At the end of the first barak, someone does an aveira and has busha. So just be ashamed, and everything will be good again, and you'll be zeiche immediately for the third Beis HaMikdash. The Malbim says on Haftarah, Haged es Beis Yisrael. Why doesn't it say Haged el Bnei Yisrael? He says, tell them that they are ready themselves to be a home for the Beis HaMikdash. They can be a Beis HaMikdash. Just go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll be a Beis HaMikdash and Hashem will bring the physical Beis HaMikdash. Just be ready. Just go. Just do it right away. But Bnei Yisrael just weren't on that level where they were going straight back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't being zoiche to do the tshuva completely. We know that the Yetzer Hara, before you do an aveir, he tells you, what is it? Not a big deal. Not a problem. Yetov. And afterwards, when you do it, he says, you're stinky Russia. Terrible. And that's why we say, V'hasir Satan milfaneinu miachareinu. Before, he belittles the Avera. And afterwards, he belittles you for having done the Avera. Rashi says, on the Haftarah, on this week's Haftarah, Rashi says, that if Bnei Yisrael would have done tshuva the way they were supposed to, then they would have been Zeichel, Mamish, complete Geula, lack in time, Yeshua, with Nisim and the fly. It's like all the Nisim, and the Yardin, and Yerichai. They would have been Zeichel to come back with Ezra, and it would have been the ultimate Geula, if they would have had the Tshuva, and the Busha, the way they were supposed to. But it wasn't. They weren't Zeichel to do it like that. But they have to realize, every moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to help you, you just go along and try to take steps in Tshuva, you'll be Zeichel to it. Rav Shmuel Travis says over a story that happened in Rishon LeZion. There was an old fellow that used to come to a shir of his name, Reb Leib, who was already in his 90s. This person had moved from Russia to Eretz Yisrael 15 years earlier. He was very, very healthy. He walked without a cane, did not wear glasses, and he always came to davening. He was healthy, he was fit. One day, he called over Rav Shmuel Travis and said to him, Rebbe, I have something I need to speak to you about privately. And when they were in private, he he began to cry and he said, I wasn't always from. When I was young in Russia, I was part of the communist movement, part of the socialist movement, part of whatever was in that day, just when it was beginning. And when the whole thing started, he said, there was a lot of tough rules that the communist government made at the beginning, and one of the rules made it very difficult for me and my brother to run our business. We had a leather business. So we had some illegal way of operating it that we shouldn't get in trouble with the government. And somebody tattletaled on us. Someone was upset at us and tattletaled on us to the government. We had to pay a hefty fine. And we were very upset at him. We weren't religious. So my brother made a fake document to get back at this guy, to take revenge. And I submitted this document to the government to get this guy in trouble. I was a miser. I was involved in being a miser. And I became frum. I left Russia. I left children behind. I came to Eretz Yisrael. And I've been living and learning Torah. And Baruch Hashem having a good frum life. But I know that I have to take care of this problem. What should I do? And he started to cry. Rebbe, you're the Mara D'Asra. Help me. Tell me what to do. I need a paper from you. A document from you. He said to Rav Shmuel Trubish, which says that I'm scot-free in Olam Haba. So tell me what to do. I'll do whatever you say. And then give me a heter that I could go into Olam Haba, because I'm scared. I was a miser. I didn't know what to do, says Rav Shmuel Trubitz. So I called together and convened a beis din of other Rabbanim and Rishon LeZion, Rav Volpa and Rav Azran. And I said, we're going to sit on this and this day. We're going to speak together to Rav Leib and try to figure something out. Because when I spoke to Rav Leib, he had no idea. It had been years since he had seen that fellow who he had besmirched, who he had misered against. It was over 60, 70 years since that story had happened. He had no idea how to contact a person. He didn't know anything. Anyways, we made up a day that Rav Leib's going to come meet all of us in this basin. And Rav Leib walks in a day before to my shul, and he says to me, Rebbe, it all worked out. What happened? For the first time in his life ever, he woke up that morning feeling sick, feeling terrible. And it seemed he had some type of infection. He didn't know what to do about it. And he was registered in a Kupat Cholim, but he had never used the Kupat Cholim. So he asked someone where it was, what to do. And he went to early Shachris, to Netz. And after davening early, early in the morning, he went straight to the Kupat Cholim, not realizing that you have to know what time your appointment is. And they're definitely not open that early. So he was waiting outside the building. And there was another guy waiting at a bus stop. Someone also from Russia. He started talking to this person. And he discovered that this person was from his original hometown, and he was a son-in-law of the guy who Rav Leib had mastered against. So this person waiting at the bus stop, making a long story short, and in Sefer Madani Shmuel brings it along, this guy in the bus stop was a son-in-law of the fellow who Rav Leib had mastered against 60 years before. So Rav Leib went to their house, met his wife, who had been a little girl when the story happened, and she knew the amount of money, the exact amount of money that her father had to pay. And she told him who the Yarshim were, who the people that were owed the money, because her father had already passed away many years ago. Now Rav Leib, when he had left Russia, he had money which the government did not allow him to take out. So he had kept it in a bank there, he's allowed to use it, but it can't be transferred out of Russia. It was the exact amount that he needed to pay this Meister back, and he found out who the relatives were, and they lived in Russia. Those descendants lived there. So they contacted them, and within a few hours, the payments were made. Eventually, Rav Leib brought me, says Rav Shmuel Trubitz, brought me the receipts from those Russian children, and he requested that he be buried with them. And he took a picture of them before. Shmuel Trubitz had a picture. And this story shows you, for the first time in his life, this Rav Leib was feeling sick, and he ended up going to the Kupat Cholim early in the morning, meeting the son-in-law who was living in Rishon LeZion. He didn't even know of that guy who 60 years before he had mastered against. And he had the money in Russia waiting for him to pay up. Which means, Rav Leib wanted to do tshuva. Hashem enabled him to do tshuva. I don't remember right now all the stories. If you keep up with Nachman Seltzer books, and you read Incredible, I think in the first book, there's a couple of stories that Rabbi Wallace writes about when he started doing tshuva. He had different situations where he didn't know how he was going to pay out people from the past. He had to take in one time wood from somebody, took one time cement from somebody without permission. Things that maybe people who aren't religious maybe unfortunately do sometimes. And he decided he wanted to be chayzev tshuva, and all of a sudden he ran into these situations, were able to pay them up. You're just trying to do tshuva, you'll be able to. So just to summarize, the Haftarah is about to inspire Bnei Yisrael. The third Beis Hamikdash is ready. All Hashem says I need from you is one thing, do tshuva. And it's going to be coming straight down, Menashemayim. Good Shabbos.